This week on Don't Miss the Bus, we're headed to Germany. We're going to learn why Fanta was invented. We're going to discuss David Hasselhoff's role in taking down the Berlin Wall and come on a journey with Mark Sweettooth.
I'm Rory Kerr.
And I'm Mark Fay.
This is the podcast where two tour guides reflect on 15 years of travel to seven continents and over 120 countries. Each episode, we'll be focusing on a country from both a tour guide and a backpacker's perspective. We are no experts, but our hilarious and often bizarre stories will keep you informed on the do's, the don'ts, and the hidden melons that will surely get you excited for your next big adventure.
Guten Morgen! Oh, Rory. We're talking about Germany. Great country. Beautiful country. I'm just going to give you a quick little snippet like I always do. Are you enjoying my snippets?
I love your snippets.
Nice, short, sharp. I'm better this season,
always,
aren't I?
Always.
I don't waffle on at all. Hey, what do you think of the cheese that we're eating at the minute? Hey, it has a population, Rory, which might surprise you, of 83 million people. It's the second largest population in Europe. Do you know what number one is?
Spain?
Russia.
Ah, of course.
Has 16 states. The capital city is Berlin. The language is, of course, German. And you know there's actually dialects in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
35 of them, in fact. And Germany is home to 41 UNESCO heritage sites.
41? That's quite a lot.
It's more than 40.
Yeah.
Plus one.
Did you know that Germany, the country, is younger than Canada? Would you believe that?
I would believe that, yes.
So Canada was formed in 1867 and Germany was formed in 1871. Do you know the man responsible for uniting the Germanic Empire?
No.
Otto von Bismarck.
Oh, yes.
He was their first chancellor. Before that, before the Germanic Empire, was lots of different areas. Can you name some of these areas? Prussia, Saxony, Bavaria, they all joined together to create Germany.
Yeah.
So what's your personal experience in Germany, Mark?
Well, I would, like a lot of these countries we go to in Europe, it'd be a country I'd be going to regularly for work. It was a country you and I spent a bit of time socially together when we, of course, went to the world-famous Oktoberfest.
We did indeed.
Which, of course, Rory, every year is in October, right?
Yep.
No,
it's
September.
Not September.
It was a joke.
Yeah, I know. You lured me in
you
there,
like
mate.
That?
You lured me in.
Fine and sinker.
Yeah.
So we had a great time. You remember our time at Oktoberfest?
I did. It was my second time at Oktoberfest. Once I finally convinced you to come traveling, Mark, it was good to see you there.
Rory, I was so proud that you could do more than one night out. Rory does kind of a one night on, three nights off. That's his rota, his schedule. And we did about four or five nights in a row. So it was a good time, Oktoberfest. Rory, I think we have told the story on this podcast before about the train incident where Rory, as we all our valued listeners know, Rory is very much it kind of suits the country we're talking about. He has a bit of a strong, let's say, tyrant way about himself as to we're going here, we're doing this, this is the time we're leaving. One of my fondest memories was on that train in Germany where the stop came. We were ready to get off the train. Rory was ready before us because we were, of course, taking our time because we're on holidays. We're relaxing ourselves. And Rory jumps off the train whilst it's partially moving, followed by our friend who jumped off the train straight after him when the train was completely moving. Were you feeling good leaving your friends behind? Obviously, if we were to jump off the train, we would probably die. Were you happy about that?
Mark, I didn't interrupt you. I will let you paint whatever narrative you want.
Were you happy leaving your friends behind?
I was. Why? Because, you know, I try and help these guys and I tell them, we need to get off this train. This is our stop. I don't think there's another stop after this, boys. Hurry up. Mark is worried about his headphones and his Samsung Galaxy. They end up missing the stop.
Rory, I was giving directions to a disadvantaged child on the train.
Oh, were you?
And he needed my full and utmost
attention.
You
paint whatever narrative you want to paint. And so me and Costa decided, yep, fine, we'll leave them behind. So we went and got some beers and we went and sat on to the next train.
Luckily, the boys managed to get off the train. I don't know how. And they got a taxi to the station.
We did.
Just in time. And we had beers for you. So it was win-win.
What about you, Rory? What are your recollections of Germany? Is there anything that pops in your mind? I know you've got somebody very close to you that's from there.
Yeah. So my parents actually lived in Germany for 3 years before I was born. My sister was born there. And my auntie, uncle, and cousins all live in a place called Augsburg, which is north of Munich, about an hour. So when I was younger, we'd go to Ireland and we would travel across Europe in a big red van all the way to Augsburg. And I was there a couple of times. I remember as a 15-year-old being shocked that you could have breakfast in Germany, morning tea in Austria, and lunch in Italy. You'd been in three countries before lunchtime.
Yeah.
Now, I was also amazed at the roads. They work incredibly well. People don't sit out there in that outside lane. They get out, pass, and then they get back in. Toilets, you have to pay for them, but they're super clean. They were recycling bottles 25 years ago. I was shocked at this. My uncle used to bring a crate of bottles back to the supermarket, and for every bottle he brought back, he would get it off the next crate. And if you broke a bottle, you would have to pay a little bit extra. They were doing this 25 years ago. I fell in love with Spätzle. It's a pasta.
It's a noodles.
It's a noodles. It's cheese. It's delicious. I also fell in love with a thing called Spezi. Orange juice and Coca-Cola mixed together. And I was shocked. I was like, oh, I don't know about this. But it is in some places in Germany, they drink more of that than Coca-Cola. Fun fact, while we're on drinks and Germany, do you know why Fanta was made?
It was through the war.
It was in World War II. So Coca-Cola didn't want to be seen to be selling Coke products to the Nazis. So they came up with another drink, and that's how Fanta was created. So as an 18-year-old, I backpacked through Germany. I drank at Oktoberfest. We had lots of stories. One of the fondest memories I have of Germany and Oktoberfest is the AFL Grand Final is also in September. It's about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in Germany, and there's this one pub, and there's a line out the front of it, all Australians, and you go in, you have your cooked breakfast, you have a few beers, you watch the Grand Final, and you come out, and the sun is just rising, and you head off to Oktoberfest, and it is an awesome day. We experienced that. We did.
We had it was Sydney versus Hawthorn.
Oh, you remember.
Memory serves me correctly. Yes.
It's a good grand final. Another good thing about Germany when I was 18, I think it was the place that I fell in love with tours that tell you about history and bringing a place to life. We went on this free walking tour, and the final climax was the guy talking about how the Berlin Wall came down. And in today's quiz, I'm going to talk about some of the things that helped bring down the Berlin Wall.
Bust my head in. Oi, bruv, I'm going to bust your head in.
Mark, what busses your head in about Germany?
What busses my head in? Right, there's a few things that bust my head in about Germany. And it's not so much what, I guess, specifically the Germans do. It's the reputation they have, which annoys me because it's a little bit incorrect. So when you think of Germany, one thing that probably comes to your mind is precision, always being on time, all that sort of jazz.
Yeah.
Okay. The trains, they're not always on time. Okay?
Not if you're coming from Switzerland.
People, exactly.
Swiss trains.
Switzerland is a different story. Yeah. They do it the right German way, Swiss German way. Germany do it the German way, which has a reputation for always being on time, but it's not. Switzerland invented the watch for a reason. They're always on time. Germany, it's a 50% chance the train's on time. It busts my head in.
Because you're always on time.
I am.
You don't get caught on trains and delay them. They're probably behind because there's people like you on the train
helping to get off. Helping the
disadvantage. You know, and then there's idiots jumping off the train and they're probably like, well, we can't take off to full speed because these idiots are jumping off the train.
You should have got arrested. Do you know?
I'm going to call the German police.
You know the other thing, Rory, again, reputation, autobahns. So you spoke about the motorways, you spoke about the roads. autobahns. Everybody has this fixation on autobahns don't have a speed limit. This busses my head in. They have speed limits. Pretty much all of them do. It busses my head in that people think, oh, you can get on the autobahn, go whatever speed you want. Usually, why are you shaking your head?
I don't think they do have a speed limit. Certain ones do.
Most of them now have speed limits. They didn't used to.
When did this come in?
As of 1963.
Oh, really?
It started to change. Then 1987 was when it really hit off. And as of 1999, that was when it became speed limits.
I am hopping off the bus on that one, Mark. I'm hopping off the bus.
I need you to be quiet. Because I have been and on these roads a lot more than you. I'm telling you, they all have speed limits. 130 kilometers is generally the speed limit. And ironically, here's a little fun fact for you. There's been more accidents on the autobahns since they've enforced speed limits than there was prior to having no speed limit.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because people are more, when they're driving, they're more looking down at their speed and trying to keep to that speed. They're not sort of in the zone focused on the driving itself. So I think they might be a bit more distracted. Is that a good?
Yeah, I'll take that.
It's all about being clever and smart and thinking on your feet. And
you should
something
just,
I do well.
Just finish. Stop, Mark. Stop talking. It was good.
This is the tyrant coming out again. All right, tyrant, what would you say that busses your head in?
What busses my head in? We're going to talk about October 1st. A lot of our listeners will tie their European trip with October 1st. Like you said, it's in September. Please don't just go to the Hofbräuhaus. The Hofbräuhaus is full of tourists getting hammered and drunk and unruly. Go to the other tents. The Germans are friendly. They will welcome you on. They will sing along with you. They are great, and you'll have a great time. So my bust my head in is seeing tourists go back to Hofbräuhaus day after day. Jump in, Mark.
Eyes forward, pens down. Ride the bus quiz.
Time to ride the bus. Mark's been doing pretty well. It's my time to quiz Mark. He's spent a lot of time in Germany. I think he probably could get 5 melons today. Do you feel confident?
Yeah, but can I just like put a little disclaimer on this? You can't say something like, is there 15 types of bread in Germany?
And like what you did with the last episode.
There's in fact 14. You have to give me at least a little bit to work with. But you can't be one or two off.
Making the rules up, Mark.
It's pathetic.
He's in the lead and he's trying to dictate the rules.
I know what you're going to do. Just wait. I know exactly how this is going to go, but please go ahead. My
question number one.
I'm just trying to push these melons away. They're just kind of all over me. All these melons.
Question number one. Gummy bears were invented in Germany in the 1930s.
I know they were invented in Germany in the 1930s. I'm going to hop off.
That is correct. It was the 1920s. Hans Riegel got his inspiration from Turkish Delight.
This is exactly what I'm saying. You're telling me you've given me a decade to work with. This is pathetic. I don't understand.
But you knew that they were invented in Germany. I need to make it a little bit harder for you.
I'd say 1920s versus 1990s, you can work with. I'm disadvantaged. But you know what? I'm used to being disadvantaged in life.
Cry me a river. Question two. JFK. Do you know who that is?
Yep.
Good. JFK stood in front of the Berlin Wall and proclaimed, "He is a jelly donut."
It's very famous. Everybody knows that.
Hop off.
Oh, let me guess. It's something similar, but you've changed the wording, I bet you. Here we go.
This is a myth that spread at the time on the news. He said, "Ich bin ein Berliner." Berliner is a word for jelly donut, but not in Berlin.
You are. This
one
is
out of two.
So unfair.
Cry me a river. Question number three. A David Hasselhoff concert was the reason the Berlin Wall came down.
So this sounds like one of your stupid questions, and you're going to like, to be honest, if I said hop on or hop off, you'll have a reason for both. So I'm stuffed no matter what I say. But I'm going to say hop on because you're going to say, yes, after a concert that he performed, people were so outraged and they knocked down a part of the wall.
Hop off. It is wrong. It is another myth. Hasselhoff had a hit song at the time, conveniently named Looking for Freedom. The wall came down at the start of November and Hasselhoff did not headline the New Year's Eve concert at the wall to nearly 2 months later. But a lot of people, especially Americans, I had somebody say to me, oh yeah, Hasselhoff, he sung down the Berlin Wall. And he wasn't even there. It was 2 months later.
He's a big deal, though, in Germany, isn't he?
Yeah, but you know, he wasn't even a household name until that song. That song was what made him. Question number four. So that's one out of three. Jeez, this is not like you, Mark.
The listeners are outraged.
Question number four. It is legal to attempt to escape prison in Germany.
I'm going to hop on.
You're correct. So in Germany, they believe it is basic human instinct to attempt to escape prison. So you will not receive any additional punishment for acting as long as you don't break any laws. So you can just give it a go. Oh, yeah, I'll give it a go. I'm going to try and escape today. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's I guess that's fair. You're more likely to go to prison before me. So really, this probably affects you.
And would you help me escape?
Yes, because if you did escape, you'd get more time when you're caught. So yeah, I'd love to see you just, yeah. Just be in the slammer for an extra 5-10. Yeah.
Could be like a scene out of Prison Break, you know, we're like brothers, you can get tattooed and then come in.
Would I be one of the people you would ask to come visit you on a weekly basis? Would I be the only person that would visit you?
Mark.
Would you want to brag to your other cellmates? Look who's coming to see me, the big dog.
The big dog.
I'm the big dog.
Did you name yourself the big dog? Question number five.
So I'm two from four.
50%.
Yep.
Germany has around 10,000 castles.
No, that's incorrect. They've got double that.
Correct. Hop off. It has around 20,000 castles on the money, Mark. Well done.
I think it's 21, if my memory says.
What is the most famous castle in Germany?
Neuschwanstein?
Yeah. And you know who built that?
What are you mouthing to me?
I was trying to give you the answer.
Okay, I don't want to hear your... I could hear your lips peckering against each other, giving me the answer. It was making me uncomfortable. Who built the castle?
Well, he didn't build it, but he commissioned it.
Was it? It wasn't Hitler, was it?
No, it was King Ludwig II.
Oh, yeah.
It's what the Disney castle is based around.
Yeah.
And we used to take many tours there and go up and wander through it.
Just bear in mind, though, if you go up that castle, walking up it can be a bit of a challenge for some, but you can take the horse carriage rides up the top.
And if you are walking up, watch out for the horse poo the whole way up.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Everywhere.
Beautiful views on the top, hey?
Incredible.
Yeah.
They used to have a little rope bridge too when I was younger and went there, but yeah. It's not anymore.
Do you know what I'd recommend? They've got a little cafe down the bottom of the Neuschwanstein Castle. It was the best Black Forest cake I've had in Germany.
Really?
Yeah, they do nice little pastries. And if you like cheesecakes like me, simple cheesecakes, I asked Rory to get me a cheesecake. He got me a sponge cake yesterday. Thanks very much for that. But really, really good pastries down the bottom. And no, well worth a visit, Neuschwanstein Castle.
It's time.
Local legend. Fast Five.
Okay, everybody. I am here with my auntie Jean. How long have you been in Germany, Jean?
Oh, 47 years.
47 years.
Almost 48 years.
48
years almost.
48 years. Yeah. So I remember, Jean, when I was in Germany growing up, I was really young and I was gobsmacked by somebody that was born in an English-speaking language, had spent so much time in Germany that English had become your second language. Is that true? You think in German now?
Almost, almost. Except when I'm talking to my family in Ireland or Australia. Yeah,
it just
almost,
kicks
yeah.
back in. It
half,
kicks
half.
What type of food are we going to expect in Germany? You're a great cook. What is your favorite things to cook?
Oh, I love to cook schnitzel, cordon bleu.
Yeah.
Well, I've never done a Schweinshaxen, but the Germans love their food.
And a Schweinshaxen is a...
It's the leg of a pork, but they do it in the oven. They don't cook it like the Irish do, like boiled bacon. They do it in... They cook it a little first and then put it in the oven and bake it in the oven. It's very, very good, and it's et with sauerkraut.
Nice.
You know. Yeah, that's one of the German favorite foods. You eat it a lot at the Oktoberfest.
And what is the other thing at the Oktoberfest? It was like a fat that they spread over the bread.
Oh, Schmalzbrot, it's called. Schmalzbrot. And it's usually, it's usually like... what comes at the end of the Schweinshaxen or ham, and it's melted fat, and it's left like lard. You might have remembered Granny used to use lard on the pan before the days of oil.
Yeah.
Well, this is like lard, but it's purified lard, and they have little pieces of crispy ham in it.
Oh, I remember the ham.
And it's spread over the bread with pepper and salt. It's quite a favorite in the... At the Oktoberfest.
And so you've been in Germany for 40 years. What is the most unique or strangest German culture you've come across?
They're very, very different. The north of Germany is very different than the south of Germany. I haven't spent a lot of time in the north of Germany, but Berlin is now our capital city, and it has a lot of history. I just visited when the wall came down, and well worth a visit.
And what was the feeling when the wall came down? That must have been incredible.
It was incredible. It was, something we'll never forget. It happened all so fast, and it was wonderful to think that there was no repercussions, no troubles. Everybody was very happy. It was a great time in Germany.
So what is one of those hidden sort of gems or places that everybody that is coming to Germany should go and see? We all know about Berlin, the Oktoberfest, Munich. What is a place that is off the beaten track that people should see in Germany?
I would say one of the things that very few people know about is one of the greatest charity organizations in Southern Germany, and that's the Fuggerei from the lake. The first Fugger who built this village in Augsburg.
Okay.
And it is one of the biggest charity villages in Europe. The people that live there only pay something like €2 a year to live in it.
And it's a charity village.
A charity village.
Okay.
And it's in Augsburg.
And you can go visit it?
Not everybody can live in it, but you have to have a very small income. You can go visit it, yes?
Okay.
And the houses are small houses. They're well kept. They have their own time to come and go in. So cheap that you have to have a very small income, and it's called the Fuggerei. It's called after the first Fugger. Fugger. He was called a first.
Okay.
It's like a lord.
A first lord. Okay. And it's for people that are lower income.
Very few people know about it. Another thing is the Oberammergau Passion Play.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people here know about it, but a lot of people in America know about it. It's held every 10 years.
Okay.
And it's in the town of Oberammergau. Near the Austrian border.
Yep.
It only happens every 10 years. And the people of the town take part in the passion play, and the men grow their hair and grow beards for months beforehand, and they have this passion play with the people of the town taking part in it.
Okay. And when you say passion play, what does that mean?
It's the passion of our Lord. And they do the crucifixion and all on their stage. It's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, wow.
And it only happens every 10 years. And next year is one of the years.
Okay. So why do you love living in Germany? What's the best thing about it?
The health system. We have a wonderful health system, beautiful parks, and everything's very well kept. And we border nine countries, Rory.
Nine countries.
So you have Poland on the north.
Yeah.
You have Czechoslovakia, Austria in the south.
Yeah.
Switzerland. Yeah. Belgium.
Yeah.
Holland.
Yeah.
Denmark to the north, France, and Luxembourg. So think of all the places you can go and visit and still live in Germany.
Yeah, and they're not too far away. Yeah. I was telling our listeners that I remember when I was younger and came and visited you, and we could have breakfast in Germany, morning tea in Austria, and lunch in Italy, all in one, yes, a few hours.
Yeah, exactly. You can go down to the Black Forest and have Black Forest gatto, and you can go on to Austria and have a Sacher cake, and you can do all those things all in one day. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. What bothers you about Germany? What would you change if you could change something?
Their mentality. They are so serious.
Yeah.
And their school system is very, very strict. And they're very slow digital to adjust to the digital system. We're quite behind from the rest of the world. But otherwise,
pretty good.
We can't change that.
Yeah, yeah, that's not. After a few beers, do they lighten up a bit?
Yeah, they do. You take them to the Oktoberfest.
they start singing.
They blend in with the tourists.
Yeah.
But so, leave it behind at the Oktoberfest.
Exactly. Just keep them full of beer. My last question for you is, what advice would you give to someone traveling to Germany?
Don't try to see it all in one day. That is no-no. Visit the Alps. Visit the Rhine. Take a river trip down the Rhine. Go to the Black Forest. See all the cuckoo clocks that have been made. Go to Berlin and listen to the history. Be amazed at how they've built up this country after the war. Yeah, in a very short time.
No, they've done an incredible job. And you can see the old and the new and how they've tried to keep that history in part, but they've developed other parts too.
Yeah. And the public transport is wonderful. You don't need to have a car. You can travel by train and bus. They're always on time, or almost always. And
not as precise as the Swiss, but still pretty good.
No, that's true. Not as precise as the Swiss. But the motorways, if you do take a car, the motorways are excellent. Just don't drive too fast. You don't need to keep up with the Germans.
Thank you for being on our show.
Did somebody say DMTB?
Top three.
Yeah.
Mark, three takeaways about this fantastic country.
You mean three tips?
Three tips, yeah. Three takeaways, three things you recommend, whatever you've got.
All right. So I'll give you some tips. In Germany, you mentioned earlier, Rory, about the toilets, paying for the toilets.
Yep.
Germany's great. Yeah, you pay for the toilets. Keep your ticket, your toilet ticket. What you can do when you go to the toilet, you pay €1.50, keep that ticket, and you can actually get a discount off whatever you buy in that shop. Let's say you're at a gas station, the toilet might only cost you 50 cents. That means you've got 70 cents to spend in the shop. So hold on to those tickets.
Good tip.
That's tip number one. Tip number two, we've spoken a little bit about Oktoberfest, okay? It's pretty expensive to experience Oktoberfest, especially in Munich. Why go to Munich?
Good point.
Go down the road, Stuttgart. That's where Oktoberfest was invented. Go down there for a cheaper, a more authentic Oktoberfest experience.
So, Mark, you're talking about how to get Oktoberfest cheaper. Would you cut costs on costumes by any chance?
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, why don't you tell the listeners where I'm going with this, Mark?
Why don't you tell them?
No, you tell them.
I bought a costume for Oktoberfest, which was a beautiful costume. It looked the part, okay. Maybe it wasn't the typical Lederhausen. Maybe it wasn't, you know, the real authentic type of costume. But you know what, Rory? I got attention. It drew people towards me, and I had a great time.
It was one of those costumes that came out of a plastic bag, and it was green felt, and him and Costa wore it, and they looked like pixies. And the Germans were in hysterics laughing at them, saying, oh, pixies, pixies, pixies. do yourself a favor, buy the Lederhausen, buy the Drindle, go all out. It's going to cost you a couple of hundred euros. You're going to fit in and you're going to have a souvenir to take away.
It's funny you say that because that was leading me up to my next point about purchasing them. You can purchase them at Oktoberfest. And Rory, you might think to yourself, it's better purchasing months before. You can get dirt cheap outfits. And I'm talking the socks, rubber shoes. You can get the Lederhausen and the hat. You mentioned a couple of hundred euros. You can get it for 100 euros, the whole package, on Oktoberfest. Prior to Oktoberfest, you're going to be paying a lot more. But of course, you're going to be getting probably really good quality. But who cares about the quality, please?
Yeah, of course. Just get a green Pixies outfit and wear that. $20.
No, it was even 20 euros. 10 euros.
10 euros.
And that's certainly something to recommend. And definitely book your accommodation well in advance.
Definitely.
For Oktoberfest, you're going to pay a fortune. You buy it in a 10-bed dormitory, you're going to be paying at least 50 euros a night. So book well in advance.
So there's lots of rides also at Oktoberfest, but my favorite activity to do besides drinking was to walk around the outside of the Oktoberfest grounds and take photos with people that were asleep. Big group of us used to crowd around them and we'd all take a photo with the person that was passed out at the front.
We did. Doing different poses.
It was great.
Pretending we're kissing them on the cheek, straddling them like the equator. That's what we do. So what about you?
Okay, a few different tips. If you're going to Germany, you got to learn the history. Get a guide in Berlin. I say it all the time. It's great. But the other thing you should do in Berlin is go out to a nightclub. Some of the best nightclubs in the world in Berlin. But before you go, just prepare yourself and wear the appropriate clothing, okay? Look at the dress code of the place you're going to go and dress appropriately, okay? There's long lines in. You don't want to miss out on a good night out because of it. Second tip is food. How underestimated is German food? They talk about Italian, French, talk about Spanish food. People don't talk about German food. Beautiful breads and cheeses like most European countries. But you've also got pork knuckle. You've got Kaiserspätzle. You've got schnitzels, currywurst, fried potato pancakes. You've got dumplings. You've got really, really good kebabs. There's a lot of Eastern European Turkish people in Germany. All the food is heavy, but it's really, really good. You got any experience with German food? Anything
exactly
stands
what you just
out?
Said. I actually quite like going on to what I was saying about down the bottom of Neuschwanstein Castle. The pastries, I think, are also underrated. Plenty of cake shops. Certainly get stuck into there. Most of the cakes are very, very creamy, so rich in carbohydrates, but really tasty. So it's really common. Have a coffee and a cake. And they have a lot of outdoor seating. It's really, really beautiful. Most of those small little German towns, especially in Bavaria, really, really nice.
Wowee, Rory. That is definitely our best episode yet. If you enjoy that episode, please subscribe to Don't Miss the Bus on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts from so you never miss an episode. And please follow us and like us on Facebook and on Instagram. And we're also on Patreon too. Please also don't forget to rate, review, and tell all of your friends so they can also jump on the magical school bus of the Don't Miss the Bus podcast. Happy travels!